appreciate your prayers. I'd like to start with a couple verses in 1 Thessalonians. In the fifth chapter, and the 20th verse, Apostle Paul was giving some instructions to benefit these folks in their spiritual walk. And it says in the 20th verse that despise not prophesying. In the 21st verse, he says, prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. There is, I believe, organizations of people that they want blind obedience. I don't know if you go into the military, if you really should ask the sergeant when he tells you to do something, why. I'm not sure it would be a good idea for maybe the students in school to, when the teacher gives the homework assignment, to say why. Probably it wouldn't be a good idea if you get pulled over by an officer and he tells you to get out of the car. If you sit there and ask him why, probably wouldn't do good. There is also religious organizations that want pretty much people. Their idea is we got it right, we got it fixed, and we don't need you asking why. What we want you to do is come and do what you're supposed to do. Do it. We'll tell you what to do, and that's what we expect you to do. I knew one group that their expectation wasn't high at all. Their expectation was is that we'll tell you how much money you should give, and we want you to give it. That's hardly had any other rules to the organization at all. It was just, you give us your money and you'll be in good standing. That was pretty much the bottom of theirs. But that's not what this scripture is saying to us at all. It says, don't despise the ministry, the preaching that you hear, the avenues. Accept that. But don't be blind about it. You know, I'm not afraid, and I think I can say for all of the ministers of the Church of God, I think we can say we're not afraid to point you to the truth. We're not afraid to point you to Christ. I'm not afraid to put you in the hands of the Holy Spirit. If you're honest and you want, your heart's desire is to serve the Lord, I'm not afraid to put you there. Because the Lord will lead you better than anybody else can.
Amen.
And He will lead you in the way of truth for your life. So this scripture says to prove all things. Make a test of it. Listen, I'm not saying don't be obedient or just fly everything out there. I want to be careful in the sense that not to just say there's no value to anything, but the Lord wants us, each individual here, to do what we do because we want to do it, and we've been taught of the Lord that it's the best thing to do.
Yeah.
And it's right to do. It's one thing to just be told that and say yes, but I find out that people that generally will take things really quickly like that really don't get much. And so then when the difficulties come and problems come, they don't really have much to hold them with. So this scripture says to prove all things. Prove your own life with the Lord. Prove what it is that you're hearing. What the songs are saying. What the minister's preaching. What you're reading. Prove it by the Word of God. by the Spirit of God in the way He works in our life. You need convictions in your life that will hold you regardless of what anybody else does. Your own personal convictions that came from the Lord and from the Spirit of the Lord convicting your heart with it through a pursuit of God and His truth. Now, there were several years ago, I had a brother tell me he knew of a group of people. It was a rather large group of people, the way I understand it. Said it must have been 100 people in the congregation, which in my mind is a fairly large group of people. He said that they were a lot like we are in their belief. They believed in a holiness standard. The women wore modest dresses and they had long hair and they had a certain a code of life that they lived in. He said there arose an idea about it, and so they decided that they were going to get together. And so all the ministers and elders get together and start debating and hashing it out of whether it is necessary. This is really necessary in our time to live that kind of a life. And so after a long sessions of counseling and looking at the situation, they concluded that it was not necessary to live that way. And so they come out with their announcement to the congregation that we no longer hold it as a truth that you need to live with that kind of standard. And he told me that congregation changed immediately. Said the next day they couldn't go fast enough to buy different clothes. They couldn't go fast enough to the hair parlors. They couldn't go fast enough to get the jewelry and the makeup. They couldn't get there fast enough to get the things that they... Because their ministry had let them loose to go do... And I want to ask you, what did they have? They never proved anything. I love the brethren and all that, and I appreciate godliness and men that are godly, and I appreciate their ideas of that, but I'm going to tell you what I've got didn't come from that. It wouldn't make any difference if the whole lot of the church got together and said that this ain't needful. That ain't what makes me do what I do. I do what I do because I've got something in my heart that says this is right before the Lord. I'm pleasing the Lord. I want to please God with what I was doing. I think that was such a shame, that story. And then I wondered, how long would it take us? This is just a question. I hope that it wouldn't be so. I hope that if that was the statement that the body of the people would say, we need to pray for them. Let's pray that the Lord would lead us. We've got to have conviction to ourselves. What my point is, prove all things, the Scripture says. Prove all things. Whatever it is that we have in our life. There are some things it's easy for me to accept. It's easy in the Word to understand. Other things ain't so much that way. But what happens is when I don't have a conviction for myself, when the things start getting hard, I'll let it go. And it won't be as much. And I've seen people that come in and they wanted to be a part, so it was easy enough to go ahead and do that when they were around. And so they said, you know, I think that's right. And they took on maybe a dress standard. And the only reason I'm going to talk about dress standard today is because it's easy. It's just an easy way to understand things. It's much more than that. It's in every avenue. But this is an easy one because it's a visual. We can see this and understand it. But where's the line? Are you going to take what Brother Marty says? Well, it ain't going to mean much to you if you do when it comes down to it. What you need to have in your life is that I do this because this, I prove this. In my own life, I've proved this through the Spirit of God. Dealing with me, I've proven this place. The Scripture gives us an idea that we ought to dress modestly. We have that as an idea, but what does that mean? How far should I go? What should I do?
I need to prove that. Not just because you say it, or because this one said this, or this one said this, but because I have something in my heart. And I prove this. Now the Scripture says that when Adam and Eve sinned, they went and put fig leaves on, and the Lord says, that ain't enough. And He made them coats. I don't know what all that means, but it means something. In this whole idea, it means something. I need to prove what it means. Also, I think in Revelation, it said that the shame of their nakedness not be seen. So obviously, nakedness is a shame, but how much and what degree? I have to prove. It means something. So I'm saying, I need to prove those things rather than just come into a group or be a part of it that don't mean anything. I need to have something for myself. Prove it. Prove it to me. You know, God wants to prove it to you. We like to say, I say it a lot, the church could use ministers, teachers, people with gifts. We need that. Well, you could say, well, Brother Marty said that, maybe I ought to go ask Him if I'm the one. Don't come ask me if you're the one. Go ask the Lord if you're the one. And if you're daring enough, go ask the Lord to give you a gift for it. And seek for it. And you know what the Lord will do? He'll prove it. He'll prove it. Now, I want to tell you my experience. I'm actually introverted. A lot of people that don't know me really well think that I'm extroverted because I am easy to say, I'm Marty, how are you? Those kind of things. But that's not me, really. Inside me, I want to go crawl in a hole. And me standing in front of a group of people was unheard of for most of my life. But the Lord wanted something, and I told Him I'd give Him anything He wanted, and He wanted something, so He called me to be a minister. But I needed to prove that more than Brother Salmon saying, I believe the Lord's got His hand on you, brother. Which Brother Salmon did. And Brother Tony also had given me the witness that the Lord is using you. There was other brothers that did it too. But I need more than that. So the Lord was so willing to do it. One Sunday night, I believe it was a Sunday night, Brother Tony had a message at home. And he preached one of those messages where who's going to stand in the gap? Who's going to be the man that's going to say, Lord, send me? And as that message come forth, I looked around the congregation trying to put that message on the other brothers, thinking that just don't really fit him because he said such and such and that doesn't fit him, and it don't fit that brother because of this. Now I know they wasn't looking at it that way, but when it got down to the end, it was like the Lord had narrowed it down and said, it's you. And I remember my mind wasn't rebelling against that, but my mind was, Lord, I'm not capable. I can't do that. I would never be able to do that, Lord. I mean, that's not me. I couldn't perform. I'll never be a blessing. I just couldn't do it. But it was very humble I was very humble in my thought that the Lord would be calling me to that, but I'm not able. Sometime after that, I had a dream. I don't put a lot on dreams all the time because I have a lot of silly dreams. It can be because I eat too much popcorn before I went to bed, or, you know, I mean, it can be for a number of reasons, I assume. But this was different. And the Lord gave me a dream, and in my dream, I looked down, there was this great dam, the bottom end of a dam, this great wall. And down low there, the saints were down there. And I looked down there, and the saints were down there. Nobody in particular, just the saints. And they were down there and below this dam, and the dam was starting to leak between the cracks of the blocks. The water was starting to come out. And they were getting frantic. The water's going to come down. The dam's going to break. The water's coming out. It starts squirting out. And they were trying to stop it, but to no avail. And they kept going, and I looked and seen the urgency of it. And I was standing there thinking, this is awful. This is awful. Somebody ought to do something. What could you do? And in my dream, one of the saints looked up at me and said, thank the Lord, there's Brother Marty. He can stop it. And so everybody
attention went to me. And I was like, it's not me, folks. I mean, and it was just like in that message. I was saying, I can't stop nothing. There's nothing. I couldn't do it. I ain't never been able to do anything. I can't do nothing. It's not me. I was very, very humble in it. And they were saying, yes, you can, Brother Marty. You can do it. You can do it. And in my dream, I was like, well, I can try. I mean, something's happening. And I went down there, and it was like the Lord gave me the ability. And all I had to do was just walk by and put my hand over where the water was squirting out, and it just stopped. And I just went by, and they were saying, praise the Lord, thank the Lord. It's all spared. And in my dream, I remember thinking, if I can do anything to help, Lord, if I can do anything to change the tide of this world, if I can do anything to help, Lord, I'm willing to do it if I can do it. I want to tell you something. The Lord wants to prove what He's doing. Do you know how many times I have been challenged? I've never really been challenged to quit the Lord in my experience. But I've really been challenged about this ministering stuff. I thank God that He gave it to me. I thank God for the thing. But I want to tell you what's helped me many times. Was a vision that the Lord gave me and the promise that I said, if I can stop the tide of the world to the saints, Lord, I'll do it. And how many times that vision, that dream the Lord gave me, the proving of it, how powerful it has been in my life. If this isn't enough to just follow the ways of the dictates of people, it's to be proven in our individual lives. I'm not saved because you all think I am. I'm saved because I have an experience with the Lord. It's been proven. It's been proven to me that I'm a changed person. It's been proven, and I need that proof. And everything that I do, everything that we do, we ought to be seekers of the truth. You know, it's too easy sometimes for people to just take things because we've run into this before. You just tell me what to do and I'll do it. Somebody come and say, well, I'm thinking about moving somewhere or going somewhere. Do you think I should? You know, I will never answer that question. Because I don't know the answer. You need the relationship with the Lord to ask the Lord about some of these questions. This scripture says, prove all things. Prove it. Get your own convictions about it. Should or should I not be given to habits? Or should I not give myself to certain substances? Or those kind of things. I need to prove it. I need to have my own conviction about those kind of things. I've seen these kind of situations through. Just a mission dress again. It's easy enough to be modest dressed when you're around modest people, but then all of a sudden, something might be in a wedding or something, somebody come and reach the sister a dress and say, here, wear this. And, well, don't want to cause trouble. Really don't have a conviction anywhere. And wear something that's totally unseemly. And I say, what is that? What is that? That's no conviction. That's not proving it for yourself. I need to prove this for myself. I don't go there not because, well, I don't watch stuff because the church said not to watch it. No, I don't do it because it's displeasing to the Lord. And I prove that in my own heart and with my own convictions by the Lord that I should not do that. Because if all it is some kind of a rule out there that the church is going to lay down and say, you should not listen to this kind of music. So what kind of music should I listen to? Well, just plain gospel music. I mean, listen to that. Well, what about the Christmas carols? Well, that's about Jesus. That's okay. But I won't sing Happy Birthday. You can go too far. You're going to have some convictions in yourself. What about how much is that doggy in the window? Is that off or old McDonald's? Or about a jingle you make up for yourself to entertain your children when they're little. Well, that's why we don't have the rules. That's why we need to prove all things. And have convictions in our own hearts. You need your relationship with the Lord, and you can't just be a part of a crowd or a herd of people that's all going to heaven. You need to have convictions for yourself. But this scripture says more than that, because it says, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. So, I knew a brother that I knew him for a number of years, and he was one of those people that questioned everything. Questioned. So after a while of this, finally he's at my home one time and he's questioning. And I said to him, when are you going to stop questioning? And he said, Brother Marty, don't you think questioning's good? And I said, yeah, I do. But not to no purpose. You ask the question to get the answer. There's no virtue in you just being a questioner. And you're going to spend your whole life questioning why the church does what it does. And you never get the answer. I told him, I said, Brother, it's time to start getting some answers. Question to find out what is good. Why do I do this? This is why I do it. Because it's wholesome and it's right and it's valuable and it protects me and it protects my children and it has purpose to it. This is why I do it. We don't question just for no reason. We question to get the answer. Lord, if you want me to be a minister, I want to do what you want to do, but I don't want to be one if it's not you saying to be one. So I need some answers. You remember when I think it was Gideon says to the Lord, said, now, Lord, I want to know whether you've got this in your mind. So I'm going to lay out this fleece. And the Lord comes and answers it just the way he said. Well, that was the proof that the Lord was in it. Then he says, Lord, now have mercy on me. It's like he got down and said, I know you answered this and I'm supposed to believe in this and all, but that was kind of the natural way it could have happened. And so, Lord, you be merciful because I really need to put the fleece out again. One more time. Lord, I need proof. You know, the Lord wants to prove our experience in our life that He is real. It's not enough for me to say, the Brother Sam is, well, I ain't praying and the Lord healed this person and her, healed that one. And I've heard of healings and I've heard how the Lord delivered from habits and I've heard how He done all this and I've heard all that. But I ain't ever proved it. There comes a time to where you need to get your prayers answered. There's a time where you need to pray through and feel the Spirit of the Lord. I'm not saying you haven't. I'm just saying that we all need to prove this. And after we prove it, we can hold on to that which is good. This brother was questioning, which I think there's value in being a questioner. I think we ought to be critical of things. I think we ought to be inquiring. But I also think that we ought to get the answer from the Lord and allow that to be what makes me stable and solid. Over in the book of Acts, the 17th chapter, 10th verse says, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming hither, went unto the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. Now, how do you like that? They opened themselves up to receive the word of God with attention, with purpose. Drawing the Word of God, a readiness of mind to take it in. They were hungry. They wanted this.
And they had a readiness of mind to receive of God. We need to have a readiness of mind and heart. But they had something else that they mixed with that. They had a readiness of mind to receive the Word and search the Scriptures daily whether those things be so. So they was willing to receive, but they wasn't content to leave it there. They went and proved it. Now this word noble is hard to understand, because the way I would read that without any research, I would really say they were noble because they had a ready mind. And because they searched the Scriptures daily. But those that look into that have an idea that the folks at Berea were more educated people and more capable. They had more of an ability to actually pursue that. There was people of Jesus' day that couldn't read Scriptures and couldn't do that. There was poor people and peasants that didn't know enough and those kind of things. God wants to prove to everybody, and He's got a way of proving to everybody that He's God and that it's right. And the way of God is right. And the way we ought to live is right. We need experiences, each one of us, that will last if everything else around us falls. I love my wife, but I can't depend on her. What if she? But hey, there's been people's wives that's changed or didn't have it. She can't depend on me. We all need an experience that will stand the test alone. Lord, help us. That will stand no matter what this world does. It says that they searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. So they come along and they told these Jews, you have a testimony of the Scriptures. It has been prophesied that there would be, in the fullness of time, God would send His Son. The Messiah would come. These Jews were very aware of that. Now somebody comes along and says Jesus was the Christ. He fulfilled the Scriptures. And they're saying, we've won for Him. What do you mean by that? Jesus was born of a Virgin Mary. And so this is what the Scripture said. And they received the readiness of mind. But then they went and said, wait a minute. The Scripture says that His bones wasn't to be broken. Was His bones broken? No, they took Him down. He died right away before they broke His bones. Yes, that was Him. We're going to prove what you're saying by the Word of God. Make sure that it's in there just that way. Just by the Word of God, we're going to prove what you're saying about this. If you're telling me I should live a certain way, then the Scripture must be there. And when I see it in the Scriptures, I can ask the Lord, Lord, by Your Spirit, convict me of that. Send that to me. I want that in my own heart and life. I'm willing to put that in there. The Scripture says, been said of old, love your neighbor, hate your enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. You going to tell me that? I need to prove that. Lord, what do you mean by that? How do I fulfill that? What do I do with that? You know, the Lord has a way of proving in life, proving that. There's a Scripture that says a soft answer turneth away wrath. And I had an experience one time where I had these people so mad at me. All they was fired up and mad at me. And you know what? The Scripture said a soft answer turneth away wrath. This was a fighting family too. These people were known to fight. They wanted to fight. And I was there and they was ready to fight. And you know what? It was all over. I had a dog. I kept him in a pen, but I got him out. We went on a walk, and when we come back, my dog went down to the neighbor's house, and their dog, they had this dog, and he wasn't no match for my dog, but he come out, and they had a little scuffle. By the time I could get down there, they were so mad at me over that dog. Well, my dog took off after that. I didn't even see him. I went down there to get him, and I said, I'm sorry, that's your dog. And boy, they was letting me have it. And I tell you what, I just said, I'm so sorry. Listen, if your dog's hurt, let's get it to the vet. I'll pay for it. And let's do that. And you know, they could fight. But they couldn't take humility. And as I humbled before them, they started to, and they started calming down. And finally, the woman, she was the maddest. She finally said to me, she said, what kind of dog you got? And I told her what my dog was. He wasn't a German Shepherd, but he kind of had pointed ears, kind of looks like it. And she said, she looks at her boys and said, that wasn't his dog, was it? I know it was my dog. It wasn't no gal, it was my dog. That wasn't his dog. I said, that dog that was down here, I believe he looked kind of like a hound dog, didn't he? And they was, yeah, he looked like a hound dog. That was a hound dog. Well, it wasn't your dog at all. No, it's a soft answer, turn away wrath. And God proved the best way to do it is to humble yourself in those kind of places. And you'll be much better off with that kind of thing. And then to top that off, as I was going back, another neighbor said to me, called me over and said, just for your information, that was your dog, but he was minding his own business and their dog ran out and jumped on him. And you know, there for an instance, I said, I humble myself for nothing. No, prove the way of the Lord. I'm going to tell you, prove the way of the Lord. It's right. It's right. Get it in your own heart. It ain't just some story told. You need it too. You need that experience in the Lord. And it said they search the Scriptures daily to see whether those things so. And I tell you, I don't do it as much anymore. But when I was first saved and I was out in the world and I worked on jobs and I was around a lot of different religious people and with the different religious notions, and I'm going to tell you, folks, that they helped me out more than you can ever believe. These people did. They was always telling me something wrong. It's just the truth. They helped me out more than anybody else because they was always telling me these stuff that was wrong. And I was always like saying, I'm going to prove that. I'm going to go see whether that's right or not. And when they tell me something, I would go get my Bible and I'd start looking and I'd start seeking the Lord. And the Lord would give me sometimes great insight. The Spirit of the Lord would just open up things to me and give me the truth about what it was, and then I would hold to that which was good. I'd throw the rest of it away, but I would hold to that which was good. And what's good is what's going to bring good fruit in your life. If you can make an argument that being not giving a soft rap and getting into a fight and argument is going to make things better, then make your argument. But I say that it won't, and the Lord proved it, and I cleave to that which is good. The best way to approach it is through humility. It's what the Bible says, and it's true. Jesus knew the value of humility, and He humbled Himself and become obedient, even to the death of the cross. He became obedient. And so I have proved it to be true. That's the best way. An old brother up there that was in the military, and one thing he used to tell us a lot, when the bullets start flying, get your head down. Get down as slow. When the bullets are flying, get down as slow as you can get, and you won't get shot. Stay down low, he would say. I want to look at another scripture in Matthew. 13th chapter of Matthew. Oh, let's see. Used this several times in this meeting. This idea was talk 13 and 18. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receiveth seed by the wayside. But he that receives seed in the stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth. Yet hath he no root in himself. Now, isn't that an interesting way of saying that? Yet hath he not root in himself. But dureth for a while, for when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended, loses it at that time, and it's sad because he had no root in himself. He couldn't stand it because he hadn't established roots in it. over and over and again, the religions of the world try to make the argument to obey us. I say, obey the Lord. You'll get the benefits from it. Obey the Lord. Obey the Word. You don't need to obey creeds and ideas. Obey the Lord. You obey, I obey. We all obey. We come together. Now, the Catholic Church, many years ago, had the idea, and rightfully so. They were right in this idea. They believed that only the learned people, the priests, the scholars, the should have access to the Word of God. Because they said, if it goes into the hand of the common man that can't understand it properly, there will be a great division of ideas. There'll be all these different beliefs. Well, when the Bible went into the hands of the common people, there become a great sectism. That's why there's a church on every corner. That's why it is what it is. It was true. It gave it that liberty. But that doesn't take away from the idea that you should obey something that's not true. The idea is we know what's right, so we're just going to tell you, and you just do it. Because the Lord never made it that way. He did not want it that way. The gospel is a liberating, it's a liberty, and it's an individual experience that every person can have in God. Amen. In the Lord. I'm not afraid to put the people I run into that wonder about what it is. I'm not afraid. And I'll tell them. When they ask me, well, what about this or this or this? I said, I'm not afraid to put you in the hands of the Lord. If you're an honest heart and you love the Lord, I gladly put you in His hands and let Him lead you in the way you ought to live your life.
Yes.
The way you should dress. What you should watch. What you should listen to. Where you should go. All of those things. I can glad you put you on a saw there, because God will lead true. Lord, help us to want to prove it in our lives. But we're going to have to get root in ourselves. I put my roots down. I become solid in the Lord. And the word conviction simply means to be convinced of. And the Lord comes and convinces us of the way of truth. I am convinced. I am convinced in the way of the Lord. I am convinced that it's right. Several years ago, a guy had a shirt he wanted to give me, and it had a little polo emblem on the pocket. And as he gave it to me, he knew something about us, of course. He says, I don't know if the church will let you wear this or not. Folks, I'm going to tell you, it might not sound funny to you, but it sure sounded awkward to me. Because I never really considered whether or not you would care whether there was an emblem on my pocket or not. Because I don't think that way. If there was something on that shirt that went against the convictions that I have in the Lord, then I wouldn't wear it. Or I would take it off. But I would have never thought about it in the idea of whether or not the church would let me do it or not. And I would hope that we would all be in tune with the Lord enough to ask the Lord about whether this would be a hindrance or it wouldn't. I believe in taking care of little things, so I detailed on the little things. God is a God of great details in what He does. And He was very particular in His constructions of the temple and of the tabernacle. And He's very specific in His idea of what was unclean and clean and those kind of things. Got right down to the details of those kind of things. I don't think God's nature's changed in our personal lives. God wants to critique every one of us. He just don't want Marty critiquing you. When Marty starts critiquing you, you be worried about that. But when the Lord wants to critique you, allow it be a willingness of mind that He would critique you about that. Is this thought process that I'm running through right now, is this acceptable? I can't think. I don't know what you're thinking. But But the Lord knows what you're thinking. And what you ought to have is a conviction that way. Lord, help me in the way I think and what I do with this. Because if I don't have any root in myself. And what if the ministers' meeting would get together and say, okay, we've got together now, and it's not necessary for us to do this anymore. Well, oh good, let's go. Been wanting to do this for so long anyway. No, that's not why I do it anyway. And you can come along and say, yeah, Brother Martin, you can have TVs in your house. You can watch this, you can watch that. Listen, I don't preach against the internet, but we personally don't have it. We've debated whether we will or ever will. But right now, we don't want to interrupt the way our family works and what it means to us. So we don't do it. That's a conviction that we have. That's the way the Lord's dealt with us. And it works really well because we've proven that that works. That's fine. That we still have some access to it when we need to and those things. But we still make decisions. And we've different times. When I first went out full-time with the work of the Lord, I'm going to tell you my experience. When I went out first full-time, I worked all my life. We were taught to work. You're supposed to work. I worked all my life. I come to the point that I gave up my job and went full-time in the Lord. And there was times that I'm not doing that much. And there was times that I got offered, do you want to work? And I said, well, I'll pray about it. And I asked the Lord, Lord, should I do this? And the Lord kept bringing it to me. I want you to be a minute man. I want you to be somebody can call if they need a meeting or if they need it. I want you to, okay, Lord, I put it down. But you know, that wasn't enough. I went and prayed again, Lord. Can I go to work? Can I work? I'm supposed to work. It kind of feels funny not to be working. Those kind of things. I asked the Lord. The Lord said, no. No. I know what you're thinking. Boy, that's handy. The Lord told me he didn't have to work. I wanted to, folks. You know, there's still a part of me wants to at times. But after about three times of getting to the Lord, the Lord gets to you, no. I will take care of you. I want you. You know, after that, there was times when brothers called and needed a meeting, and one actually said it meant so much to me because the Lord approved it. He actually said, Brother Marty, I'm glad that the Lord has you available to be able to do it. And that the Lord witnessed back to the time that he said, no, I don't want you doing it. I had to prove it for myself. I had some said this won't work. Brother, are you going full time? It works. It won't work. I had others. I had all kinds of human rumblings and disturbances, and I didn't rely on any of them. I proved it to the Lord. To be honest with you, when I started courting my wife, there was a number of opposition to that. But I didn't let that deter me. You want to know why? Because the Lord told me. That's why. I proved it. Now sometimes you get what you want, but the Lord proves that courtship. And there was times after that, ask my wife, there was times that our motto was, the Lord will prove it. The Lord will prove that this is right. And I believe he has. I believe the Lord proved that it was right. And the Lord wants to prove to us in our lives, this is right. Lord, help us. Get root in yourself. Because what happens is that once you prove it, and God does something and says, then you know what? When I get into the major places, and I look back at the way the Lord dealt with me in the ministry, then I can say, if the Lord wants me to do this, He's God enough to prove it to me. And I will wait for the Lord to prove that place. Because He's God enough to do it. I don't have to run from it, hide from it, dodge it or duck it. Because God is able to work in our lives.
Yes.
And I can stand on that. I don't have to be wishy-washy. I don't have to be just tossed by the wind and there because I can stand on this. And when the world around looks and thinks that it's different or it's things or that, I've had family members. Folks, listen, I had family members when I got saved that come against me. I had family members. I had people that come against me. And one guy that, well, He's seen Marty the old man a lot. I mean, I grew up with him kind of thing, and after I got saved, I had been saved a few years or a few months, and he seen me and he says, "Marty, when are you going to give up that old religion stuff?" Because he was wanting me to be the old guy again, you know. And I said, "I'm just getting started." You'll have those kind of things, and what holds us is for us to be rooted for ourselves.
Amen.
Oh, I can't stress it enough. It's a burden I've had. I can't stress it enough that you get anchored. You prove God for yourself. That God is real. His Word is real. It does what it says it'll do. It will perform the way He said. It will bring what it says it'll bring. You need to prove it in your own life. It's not enough to just hear it. You're going to have to prove it. I want to look at another scripture. 2 Peter. First chapter. You know, I think I'll just read this from the first verse. It's also good. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partaker of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now, does that sound to you like just this people that's just obeying a creed? That you would be partakers of a divine nature? Just obeying the creeds and the dogmas of people? No, this is an experience. This is an experience in God that we would obtain these things. And He said, besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and have forgotten that he was purged from his old work. But if these things be in you, if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And look too at the tenth. It says, therefore, rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. It's not enough just, but you add to your faith, add to your experience. Add to these things. Seek for these things. Get more of these things in your life and in your heart, because it says if you do these things, you will never. That's what we're interested in. Amen. That you will never be deceived away.
Amen.
You will never be tempted away. You will never be driven away. You will never be run off. I never really believed that totally. Maybe there's an experience like that, but I still find it hard to believe. I've had people that testified to the idea that they quit serving the Lord because someone offended them. You know what? I just can't get that into my thick head. It doesn't make sense. I know people use it. Oh, the pastor done such and such. Oh, this one done this, this, and this. Or the preacher did this. Or this one did this. And that's why you ain't serving the Lord. That don't make sense to me. Because if that's the way it is, you didn't really have it right.
Amen.
Because it's about you and the Lord. Everything else is instruments of helping you. Everything else is ways of doing it. It's all about you and the Lord. I've used this illustration before, but it's like somebody coming and saying, Marty, I don't like you. You're ugly and stupid. And I say, okay, Linda, that's it. Our marriage is over. That wouldn't make no sense to get rid of my wife because you said something like that. And it don't make any sense to use the excuse that I quit serving the Lord because somebody offended me. It's because you aren't rooted and got a relationship in the Lord that will hold by itself. And that's what we're promoting here today. It isn't about me. It isn't about an institution. It isn't about a movement. It's about the relationship that you have with the Lord that will cause you to be unfailing, rooted, and have these things in there that no matter what the storm comes, it isn't big enough to move you off the rock. The place we rebuild is a place that you build. He didn't say that it was. He said that I liken it unto a man that builds. He digs down and he hits the rock and he builds his house. And when the storm comes, it won't be moved. It won't be moved because it's setting on the rock. What's the rock? Christ. He said it's these words that I'm speaking to you. He started from the fifth chapter, the Sermon on the Mount, when he got to the seventh chapter of Matthew. That's where he said that I'm going to, if you hear these words of mine and do them, this will secure you. And you'll have your own root in yourself. You get rooted. And I get rooted. And all of us get rooted. We are a force to reckon with. The old devil can come in and just rage and we won't be moved. We're like a river, a tree planted by the river. You know why, what that illustration is? He puts his roots down. Got plenty of what can't be moved. This is like planting of the Lord. This isn't just happenstance. The Lord puts us in those kind of places. You know, there's a good possibility. We live in quite a world. I take my lifetime. I'm 55. I take my lifetime of being an adult. And you know what kind of changes has been in my adult life? I mean, they're making some of the most foolish arguments, and people are biting in by the thousands. And they're arguing about what bathroom you ought to go to. That's ridiculous, folks. That's ridiculous. But our world's going to a place, and our children's going to have to grow up in that kind of a world. It's a world. I mean, we're talking about family today. When the brother said, "What do you think about family?" The first thing I thought about is it's a father and a mother. That's the first thing I thought. It's a father and a mother with children. That constitutes a family. You know what? The world's not even describing it like that anymore. They're changing the rules, changing the ideas on everything. They're running up against impossibilities. They're trying to go against nature itself, the very power. They're going against those kind of things. You know what we need? We need to be rooted. We need to be secure. Well, there's an argument now. We got evidences and more evidences and more evidences. It's not God. This is what happened. This is what that. No, it didn't. God created. Just like He said He did. Do you believe that? Well, you need to prove it. You need to get your roots down. And say, I put it all on this. That God is real. And God created the universe. And Lord, help us. If you do these things, if these be in you, you do these things, you'll never fall. I pray that we get in that place. We never fall. You pray for me.